FM Rewind, File 88.1.
We are joined by Kamogelo Nkwani, who is a clinical dietitian. We're going to talk about IV drips. Have you ever heard of IV drips? Perhaps you might have seen various platforms advertising IV drips, be it at the shopping malls, you know, beauty spa outlets. Are you perhaps ever wondering what exactly IV drips are? Tonight, we are going to dive into IV therapy. We're going to talk about vitamins, you know, revitalizing boosters, IV therapy, and IV drips. That is our conversation for tonight's installment of Wellness Booth. On the line, we are joined by Kamogelo Nkwani. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you? And I hope you also had a splendid day, eh?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's get into it. IV therapy. What exactly is IV therapy?
So basically, IV therapy, it's called intravenous therapy. It's a, I just want to stress this out. It's a very, how should I put it nicely? The procedure that is very serious. So it's a medical technique in which fluids, mainly fluids or medication, sometimes nutrients or blood products are directly put into a person's bloodstream through the vein. So it sort of bypasses the GIT, which is the gut, unlike eating food, for rapid absorption and also delivery to the person's body.
You know, I've seen celebrities, especially the ones who perform or who have different gigs, going through the IV therapy. And I kept on wondering what exactly the benefits of IV therapy are. Let's talk about the benefits. What are they?
It has different benefits. So it can be rehydration, medication administration, especially for certain medical conditions. I'm very big on this one, nutrition support, which is my field. Also, things like blood transfusions, electrolyte corrections. Sometimes you would hear a person say, oh, I'm babalast, I have a headache, or my electrolytes are a bit low, so that's electrolyte correction. Treatment of other specific conditions. Also, with doctors for emergency situations such as stabilizing a patient, or if a person is shocked or severe blood loss. Also in athletics, in sports, for recovery of fluids and hydration. And also the most common one, boosting the immunity.
You know, when is it advisable to go through IV therapy? Because of, you know, I've seen so many people getting addicted, and you'd find them going to the IV therapy sessions week in, week out. Is it advisable to constantly go through the IV therapy like, you know, any other typical person who perhaps goes through different mental health challenges, decides to visit a psychologist?
No, because it's very invasive. Remember I said the fluids go straight to your vein. So firstly, it shouldn't be frequent, because when they prick you or when they put in the IV, the needle, it goes straight to your vein. So not so often, actually when necessary. But I see also there's a lot of trend, a lot of IV clinics out there. They can also come to your house. I've also seen it on social media and head around. It's a bit quite dangerous because there are complications of constantly being pricked or put in the needle, because you can do stuff like damaging your blood vessels. You can have bleeding from the side where they insert the needle. You can also get swelling, allergic reactions. Some you can get inflammation and also a lot of bruising. And there are also other dangerous complications like hematoma. So hematoma, it's sort of swelling from clotted blood under the skin. You can also get blood clots, cellulitis, skin necrosis, Also, remember our skin has cells. So you may get premature death of your skin cells. You can also get an abscess. So not so, we shouldn't do it every week in, week out, or every month.
Is there any diagnosis that should be done before one goes to IV therapy, or should I just decide, especially when I feel weak, when I feel like I need more energy, to go to through the IV therapy?
Ideally, you would have to go to a GP, a general practitioner, or the clinic, or the hospital. You present your symptoms, and then the medical professional will decide whether you need an IV or not. But there are some clinics where you would find the clinic which specializes in IV drips, and then they don't have any nurse, they don't have any doctor. So firstly, I think the big thing is that make sure whoever prescribes the IV fluid or gives you the drip is a registered healthcare professional who is eligible to give IVs, because in my sector, I'm not allowed to do IVs. So I do work in the field, but I can't give you an IV because I'm a dietitian. It has to be someone who's well-trained, because there's also a lot of infection control safeties and measures they have to follow.
And let's talk about the similarities between health boosters, a variety of vitamins and medication, and also IV drips. Is it one thing or are they different? Because sometimes, you know, when I drive around, I see adverts about IV drips, vitamins, certain health boosters, and I keep on wondering whether it's the same product or are they perhaps different and also lead to different consequences. Eh?
Some are different, but mainly it's just, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I'm about to say, but mainly it's just expensive urine. Because remember, our body has a certain way of digesting nutrients from real food and then taking the absorbing the nutrients. So when you get it from the IV fluid, your body will take whatever it needs, the rest gets excreted, meaning you have to urinate it. Mm. So you can have an IV that goes for like 1.2K, but actually your body uses 2% of that. Then the remaining is just excreted by the urine. The different health vitamins and boosters, usually how they are metabolized is not the same way as food. So I usually tell my patients or my clients that it's a waste of money. Rather use that money to buy real food. Your vegetables, your fruits, they're very high in vitamins and minerals, and also phytochemicals. Some also have fiber, probiotics, prebiotics. So it's an easier way of your body absorbing those nutrients, unlike with popping a pill. Because you can pop that pill, but then will you get everything that you require? No.
Now, how can individuals ensure that they are receiving high quality and safe IV therapy or health boosters? Because of living in Johannesburg has exposed me to so many different scamming platforms that people sometimes fall into, and you never know whether you're taking in the safe IV therapy, especially if you haven't done your research, and it's only a minority of people who go in to do more research. But how do I know whether or not it's safe and whether or not it's of high quality?
You can't really say, but what I would advise on is then firstly, before we look at the content of the IV or that multivitamin, firstly make sure that whoever is going to prescribe it or insert it on you is a qualified healthcare practitioner who are able to put in that IV, like a nurse, a GP, a doctor, or someone who is maybe in health but did a course for doing the IV. Then you are safe, because we have to, firstly, before anything, the infection control measures that I spoke about. The person has to use gloves. The needle has to be packaged and closed. They have to open the needle in front of you. So they can't just come with an open needle already. Also, after inserting the IV, they have to hang the drip and also make sure that it doesn't have bubbles. So bubbles is usually air along the line. Also, there has to be proper stripping after they put it in. But mainly, you would find that a pharmacist would really know. But what I do know is that they would get a bag of sort of normal saline or any liquid or fluid, and then buy a small pack of the vitamins. It could be vitamin B complex, so it has different vitamin Bs, like your vitamin B6, your B12, or it could be a different one that has maybe vitamin C or your thiamine or other nutrients. But usually the amounts that are in your body can really take all of it in. So to make sure that it's safe, whoever is doing it has to have a medical degree. That's number one. Because you can imagine if you take it from someone who doesn't have a medical degree, who doesn't know how to prick, or they taught themselves, then you get a complication, you have excessive bleeding, you die.
And it's very important for us to, you know, always make sure that we advise people, especially about such therapies, IV therapy, because you find people, you know, falling into such scams. You find people developing certain comorbidities because of taking wrong and harmful IV drips. And speaking of health and advising people, on the 7th of April, it was World Health Day. What is the call to action from you as an expert in the health industry? How can individuals take actions to prioritize their health and well-being, especially in commemoration of World Health Day?
Firstly, I would like to advise people to use our health resources. So there is access to a clinical dietitian everywhere, in government hospitals, in government clinics. There are a lot. The whole South Africa has them. But I do know that usually they work per appointment, so per booking. You can go to the clinic and ask to see a dietitian. Because firstly, you have to be educated on how your body works. And depending on the conditions that you have, your things like your BMI, your body weight, we also do body analysis where you check your fat percentage, protein percentage. Often private practice, they are there. So once we have a full picture of what's going on in your body, checking things like your metabolism rate, once we have a full picture, then a dietitian is able to do a tailored meal plan or advice on the exact things that your body needs. Because two people cannot have the same thing, don't have the same requirements. And also, let's go back to the old ways, how our grannies and uncles used to do things. Eat more whole foods, have our small gardens, don't go all green, where we only have smoothies, have real food, have vegetables, have fruits, have them in different colors. Have our starches, our brown starches, and also look at our portions. We should remember the portions. So look at your portions and the drinks, especially the drinks, because we tend to have a lot of high energy, high sugar, high caffeine drinks instead of water or our normal rooibos, or I won't say the other brands because I'll be advertising. So we drink a lot of liquids that are harmful to our body, while we could actually be drinking more water, because mainly our body is around 70% of water. So you'll find that you're drinking only 4 glasses per day. So try on hydrating with plain, pure water, not alkaline water, not flavored water, not this and that water, just plain, clean, safe water that will work for your body. And also just not falling into the fat diets, where we want to follow a diet where you cut out the starch, you only eat the protein only. Are you going to sustain that until you are 60 years old? Are you going to sustain that if you're sick? Yeah, wait 2 seconds. Sorry about that. So also check 2 seconds. Sorry about that. Check whatever diet that you're following. You have to sustain it, whether you get an illness tomorrow or... Because remember, we had COVID pandemic. A lot of people sadly passed away because their BMI was high. their dietary patterns were very poor. So when a disease comes, already your nutritional state is very low, it will attack you. So be on the safer side. Let's be healthy. Healthy body weight, exercise or walk, drink a lot of water. Eat fruits, vegetables every single day. Let's avoid takeaways. We do eat takeaways, but you can't have bag and chips or fried chicken every second day.
Indeed. Kamogelo Nkwane, thank you so much for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. How can people get hold of you?
They can check me online, Google. There are contacts of where I practice, but I'm based in Pretoria. I'm not in Joburg. Yes, they can find me there.
All right.
I'm not on any social media. It's just, online. They can just Google Gamo Dietitian. They will find me.
All right.
And I think, one thing that I forgot to mention about the IV. Remember I said it's expensive urine? In health, we work with studies. So there was a systematic study done in 2020 in Canada. It didn't show or indicate any real positive effect of having continuous IV therapy as a thing. As a thing, you go every week, every month.
Mm.
So there was no benefit that was found when they checked. During surveys.
Well, we'll keep on doing research to find out more of such studies that will unfold in the future, because it's very important for us to keep updating ourselves and making sure that we consume the right and factual information. Once again, Kamogelo, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. Have a splendid evening, hey?
Thank you so much. Goodbye to the listeners. I almost said viewers, still listeners.
It happens. That was Kamogelo Nkwane, who is a clinical dietitian, joining us to talk about IV therapy. Very important for us to, fact check, do research before we go for any IV therapy session, and to also make sure that we stay as healthy as possible, receiving the right and the correct treatment. Up next, we're going to get into a conversation talking about HPV infections among young sexually active men and women. There is a rise in HPV infections. What exactly is HPV? Stay tuned to find out more about it.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.